56.
It's all about immigration once again on the federal level. And in Arizona, all eyes are on that state in the Southwest. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney right here on America Tonight. Glad you found us on the dial. You're locked and loaded, so to speak, coast to coast and all those spots in between. Some of those spots in between are my favorite spots, by the way. We'll talk about that. It's the hidden haunts in America that make us truly unique. I believe that. Senate panel approved the Wall Street reform bill, but what does all that mean? And just when NASA is getting kicked in the rear end, they show us some incredible new images of the sun. And oh, by the way, that's kind of been reversed. More money is going to be dumped into NASA. I think a few people complained, including the great Neil Armstrong, and somebody listened. We'll talk about where the money's going in space, too. I know some people say you're throwing dollars up in the air when it comes to space exploration, but that's not true. If you look at some of what technologies, some of the technological advances that we can directly tie to what they've been able to do in space exploration. And some of the biggest, baddest, and the brightest that we have work at NASA. And with the threat, well, of course, with the Constellation program going away, with the threat of the pink slips coming down, a lot of that core group of engineers will leave NASA, and I think that's a shame. And in the end, we're going to be asking Russians to give us rides back, and I'm not kidding, rides back from wherever it is we're going because we don't have a way to get back. Can you imagine? Can I hitch a ride with one of you cosmonauts? Because my country kind of decided they put us out here, but we didn't have enough money to get back. All right, let's start with Arizona because we've been talking about this now for a while. We've talked about some of the cutting-edge things that Arizona's doing, some of the crap they're taking for doing it, and some of the people in Arizona that frankly think it's about time based on things that have happened in their suburban neighborhoods. So now they've passed what's considered to be absolutely hands down the toughest immigration legislation, period, end of story, in this country. You have other states watching. California will never admit this, but I know this for sure. I know this for sure from somebody inside the governor's office. They are absolutely asking questions. They've made a lot, had a lot of conversation with the governor there as to watch the steps that now fall into place with the police being able to question the people they stop or they suspect are illegal in the United States. You know, really what will happen is a lot of those day laborers won't be able to hang around on the corners or at the 7-Elevens or the grocery stores, the place where they know somebody will come by and say, hey, we've got a job for you, because they know somebody will pick them up and take them to wherever the job is. That happens a lot. I think I've said this on the air. Probably about 4 miles from me, there's two different places where lots of people gather, and they're people who are looking for work. They're day laborers, and they'll go out to some of the bigger developments where the new home builders are, and they help. That's what they're picked up for. So now you have the ACLU up in arms beyond belief. They're saying, listen, now that the governor is pretty much guaranteed to sign this, and which he hasn't, by the way, signed it yet, but will, they're saying this is outrageous. It is fostering racial profiling. This is putting police officers in positions that they shouldn't be in because they don't have enough training to look past race when they're investigating somebody's legal status. And see, here we go again with this argument. If somebody pulls me over and they're targeting people in an area that are known for speeding or known for, they know it's a bad road for drunk drivers or whatever it is, well, immediately when I hand you my license, my identification, it tells you my skin color. It tells you a bunch of information, which is exactly what will happen when someone's pulled over. I don't necessarily believe it's racial profiling. It's profiling. it's looking. I mean, it's looking for somebody with an accent that you pull over, that you say, can I have your identification? They don't have it. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? So supporters in Arizona say this is terrific because we've had so much problem, so many problems here, and we're trying to shut down the businesses who hire people illegally because it's killing us. We're trying to help the hospitals who are overrun with people that come in and they don't have insurance and they're here illegally. There may be others that come in that same predicament, but they're overrun with that. And now there are people in other states, there are the governors in other states, who are asking, their offices are anyway, they're asking for advice on how they can do the same thing. A lot of those states don't want to be identified because of elections and because of the fact that there'll be blowback from the people, some, in their areas. Think of California. Think of the demographics. Think of the demographics in New Mexico, let's say, and some of the other border states. But this has now become a reality. And I say bravo to the people in Arizona. Now, you might disagree, and if you do, please, I always encourage, whether it's left of left or right of right or whatever it is, everybody's welcome on this show to throw in their 2 cents. 800-259-5791. Because I've lived it in the Southwest, whether that's Arizona, New Mexico, or California, or Texas. I've lived in all those states, and I've seen the problem escalate. It's a nightmare. Trey in Kentucky, you have the first word, my friend. Hello.
Hey, Kate. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, yeah, I live in Lexington, Kentucky. I work at a thoroughbred farm here.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, we got a bunch of people that are immigrants, illegal and not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some folks I work with that I don't really mind the immigrants if they're here to work to feed their family back home.
Right.
You know, they can't feed their kids, you know, more power to them. You got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
But there's specific people I work with, and I work side by side with them every day. And the specific reason the few of them here are here is to save for retirement so they can retire by the age of 45. And that's their sole purpose. There is no, you know, I can't feed my kids. We don't have a roof. They got brand new houses built for money over here and everything like that. So I say more power to Arizona.
Bravo. I say the same thing. And I'm glad you told me that. So imagine that with what you're trying to do, and you see what's happening next to you. And I saw this in Texas. I saw it in an apartment. When I lived in an apartment, I saw this in an apartment complex. Man, I'm telling you, I forget what I was driving. I don't know, a beat-up Toyota or something. And the people on the lot that were driving the nice rides, guess what? They were the people that were doing the very same thing the people next to you were doing, the side-by-siders. They were there saving for retirement, driving, you know, incredible cars, the best top-of-the-line Cadillacs or whatever it was, and, you know, there was the difference. Where was my money going? Where was their money going?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and we even have discussions about it. You know, I know the ones here that are illegal and the ones that are legal, and the ones that are illegal say, you know, when amnesty, they grant it, they really don't want to pay the fines that they're going to have to get. And it's just crazy.
Absolutely. Thanks. Great conversation, Trey. Keep calling us. Thanks. We appreciate it. Well, more on immigration next. We're going to talk with Harry Rinker, and then we're going to jump back on Arizona's immigration policies and some of the things that I've seen, too, as well. Stay with us here on ATN.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Throw in your 2 cents, you can certainly do that, but if it's on immigration and Arizona's laws or what's going to happen on the federal level now that it's heating up again, save those for the next segment. Right now, you're so lucky. We've got the guru of all things collectible, Harry Rinker, and you can still jingle those same numbers, 800-259-5791. If you have something stashed away that you've been saving, you want to know what it's worth, or you're just curious about the trinket that you've picked up that's hanging around on your desk in your home office, he's the man. He's the guy to call. He has 10 million books out. I'm kidding, not 10 million. I think it's like 8. Harry, is it like 8 books now? How many books have you written?
Oh, I've written close to 60.
Are you kidding? I didn't know that. 60 books?
Well, I've done 22, 23 different titles, but some of them went through as many as 15 editions.
Wow. Well, that's incredible. That's a legacy to leave behind. Do you remember your first book?
Yeah.
What was your first book?
I took over Warman's Antiques and Their Prices back in 1981, and I did the 15th through the 30th edition of that book, so I did 15 editions of that one. And then one of my employees worked for me, took it over, and did several more editions. So, yeah, it's an interesting time.
What was the, of all those books, what was the one that you liked the best?
I wrote one recently called Sell, Keep, or Toss, How to Downsize a Home, Settle an Estate, and Appraise Personal Property. It's a book about how to get rid of things rather than collect them. And that book is probably the most helpful book that I've written, in the sense that so many people are faced with a house full of stuff, whether it's a parent or an aunt or uncle who died, or they're just going to downsize, you know, move from 3,500 square foot home all the way down to maybe an 800 square foot home, and they've got to get rid of the stuff. And Cellkeeper Toss just doesn't deal with the antiques and collectibles. It deals with everything in the house, from the refrigerators and the washer and dryers all the way to the clothing. So it's a good contribution. It's kind of a fun thing for me. Yeah, I've written a lot of fun books. I've written books about toy collecting, and I've written books about snow globes, and even my friend Hopalong Cassidy and all the rest of that type of stuff.
Yeah, snow globes. A lot of people still collect them. Are they? I mean, this is an open-ended question.
They're
worth anything?
As collectible as they were in the late 1990s and early part of this past decade. Now that we're in the teens, we're back to the aughts again. But there are collectors for them out there. Again, like so many collecting categories, the stuff flooded onto eBay, and once it flooded up onto eBay, it became readily available. A lot of the collector craze snow globes, the really big ones that were done, the new ones that were done with music boxes in the bottom and stuff, they've fallen on hard times. But, you know, the fun about it is I've got a bunch of grandkids, and, you know, my grandkids love the snow globe collection, not because they're collectible, but because they could shake them and make it snow.
Yeah, that's why I like them,
too.
I have a bunch of them.
I think that's something that we forget a lot about the stuff that we have. The older stuff. I mean, I still admire those people who use it rather than worship it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Is this a hot time of the year for collectibles? Is there such a thing?
It's a big time. Well, here in the East, anyway, where I am. I'm in Brookfield, Connecticut. This is the weekend we all wait for every year, the last weekend in April. It is Renninger's Extravaganza, the big outdoor show in Kutztown, Pennsylvania, and then that's on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then on Saturday and Sunday it moves out to Adamstown, Pennsylvania, to the opening of Shrubs Grove and the other activities. It's the beginning of the outdoor season up here. Now there are some year-round outdoor flea markets. In fact, there's one right down the road from me here in Brookfield. But the truth of the matter is that this is when all the dealers come up from the south. They've been down in the south and on the southern flea market circuit all winter long, and they've been buying, and the spring flea market is kind of like, you know, all of a sudden we're going to see 6 months worth of new merchandise. So everybody's excited. They're here in Pennsylvania. Then 2 weeks from now they'll be in Brimfield, Connecticut for the first of the Brimfield markets. And then in September, in early September, there's a third Brimfield market, and then the third Renninger's, and then they all go south again by early October, and we move back inside. So this is an exciting time. The outdoor season is starting again. There's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of feeling there's fresh merchandise out there, and hopefully people will go out buying. Now, the good news that I'm hearing throughout the field is that gates are up. People are buying again, although they're being very cautious. It still is a matter of people don't have a lot of discretionary income. The recovery has been very spotty. Some people have done very well. Other people, you know, are still very much on the unemployment line. And until we get a general overall mood in the economy and things get better, why, we're just going to have to live with this.
Boy, isn't that the truth? No question
about
that.
Well, it's a sad truth, Kate. We're also faced with this dilemma that the younger collectors, those that are collecting, the young people that are collecting, are not building big collections. They're building smaller collections. They're building more diverse collections. They're interested in more things. And they're not as interested in the older things that the older collectors are interested in. And so we're still in the process, and probably will be for the next decade, of totally redefining what is and is not collectible out there. A lot of us are, you know, kind of in a wait-and-see mood. In fact, one of the things, I have this famous Rinker's 30 years rule: for the first 30 years of anything's life, all its value is speculative. And it did some math the other day, and you ready for this one, Kate?
Mm-hmm. Let's
1980
hear it.
Was 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I just wrote a column. I have a weekly column called Rinker and Collectibles. And I just wrote a column, and it was called How Do You Define the 1980s? You know, you could talk about the 50s. That's pretty definable.
Right.
You talk about the 60s, And, you know, come on, with the peaceniks and the beatniks and the hippies, that was a big era. Talk about the 70s, the avocado golden harvest and rust and maybe the end of the age of Aquarius, the early part of the decade, the age of Aquarius. I mean, you know, there's live debate right now whether Woodstock was the middle or the end of the great movement. But, you get to the 80s, and what makes something 1980s?
I would say, you know what I'd say, 1980s? Like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, well, okay, and I agree with that. And in fact, that's what I wrote about in the column. I said, I don't have any trouble with music, movies, movies and television. Yeah, music, movies, and television and toys. I can define the decade very neatly in those four categories. And those are the four categories that people normally start collecting when they decade collect. They'll collect the movie memorabilia of the decade, or they'll collect the television memorabilia of the decade. Although their 1980s, there was very little television memorabilia anymore. Most of it became movie memorabilia after that. And of course, you could define it by the toys. I mean, we're talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and a bunch of other things that arrived upon the scene. But if you try to describe a 1980s house, what did a home look like? What interior furniture? The furniture, the glassware, the ceramics, the metals, the kind of things that we talk about in the other decades, and you start looking at the 80s, you're hard-pressed to find a unique style. Now, you get to the 1990s, and in the 1990s, everything goes. It was an eclectic style, mix and match. You know, there wasn't a common unity in the 90s. But the 80s is kind of a strange decade. This all got started because I collect merchant stamp redemption catalogs. You remember S&H green stamps,
yes,
and gold bond stamps and that type of stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I collect the catalogs that show the merchandise that you can get if you redeem the books. And those catalogs are really indicative of what people have in the house. And I have a huge collection, maybe over 500 total, and almost four runs of gold bond stamps and plaid stamps and top value stamps, SH green stamps. But they're alas, up in boxes down at my place in Pennsylvania, and here I am in Connecticut. But a woman sent me a 1985 SH green stamp catalog. She emailed me, and she knew I collected it, and she said, oh, I'd just like you to have it, so she sent it off here. So I spent the day paging through it. And when I did, I thought, oh, this will be great. I'll figure out what the 80s are from this catalog, right? I couldn't figure anything out. It looked like the 50s. What can
no
I tell you?
Kidding. Well, that was fascinating, that discussion. Next time, I had a couple of emails. Well, I'll save them.
What happened to our call?
I know.
We got carried away here.
No, that was good stuff. I think that was interesting for people that were listening to us driving around and sitting at home, for sure. Harry, thanks. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Hey, we'll do this again in 2 weeks. Kiddo, you be well.
You too, as well. Same back at you. 800-259-5791. Back to immigration.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
We're here for you, Kate Delaney and the crew. What a big crew this is, too. Donovan Madsen, the technical maestro of this giant show. Say hello to the audience.
Hello, audience.
I love it when a man does what I say. It's so rare. I think when I was in kindergarten, the whole Simon Says thing worked, but it really doesn't usually work too much in my real life. Anyway, talk about Simon Says and will others follow. That's kind of the question when it comes to Arizona. Is anybody going to pick up on the lead that they're now owning as they are on the cutting edge of immigration with this tough, tough immigration, you know, law that's set to be put into motion once the governor signs it, which he's going to in the next day or two. The ACLU is going to try to stop it dead in its tracks, and they're furious, calling it flat-out racial profiling. If you just tuned in and you're like, what is she talking about? pretty much, let me just sum it up for you. Arizona, tough law. Cops can, if they think somebody's not here legally, nail them. They can, if they're in the country, they're day laborers or whatever, they can stop them if they suspect they're not here legally, if they don't have documentation. And then you know what that means? That means they're going back to Mexico. The people of Mexico, the government, is furious, furious with this. Think it's outrageous, absolutely outrageous, and believe that it's going to cause all kinds of problems between Mexico and Arizona and maybe other states in the United States should they try to adopt the same approach that Arizona has now decided that they're going to take on. And I say bravo to Arizona. And the reason I say that is because I've lived in California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, a lot of the border states, and I've seen what can happen. There are truly warm, wonderful people who are struggling to try to feed their kids and do whatever they can to make ends meet to survive in a third world country, because that's what Mexico is. So I understand that, but there's another giant chunk of an element that comes through the poorest areas in the desert spots like Arizona, parts of Arizona, like Texas, like New Mexico, all those desert areas. They come across, they got serious bucks. And they got serious bucks because they're either transporting people or drugs or maybe a little bit of both. And then they're slaughtering people, too, along the way. So what do we do in that case? Turn our backs on dead women in the desert? And it really is a mess. It really is a nightmare that is underreported. And we have talked about this on America Tonight. We've had all sides of this, too. We've had people who think it's disgraceful that we would discriminate or let, you know, put up some kind of wall or not let people come into our country. But the problem is it's not so much let's put a wall around this, build a moat, let's somehow get all the sharks to just go through those little canals on the side and see what we can do to just completely stop people. It's not about that. It's about now what the deterioration is. Also for the people themselves that are victimized by the coyotes and others with other titles that are using them as either stool pigeons, packing them with drugs, promises, whatever. I mean, there's more sad stories than you know about that are happening every single day. So I say good for Arizona. I do believe the ACLU is going to do everything in their power to knock it down. Then on the heels of this and the police, yes, and the police are going to have to be sensitive in some ways to what they see and who they stop and all that sort of stuff. But isn't that the normal confrontation anyway of a police officer? Notice I say confrontation. I honestly, in some cases and in some areas, I don't know how many of the brave men and women who do the job that they do can stand it by what they encounter when they pull people over. And not in all places, and certainly there are great cops, and there are cops who cut people breaks and try to help them and all that sort of stuff. So in one sense, it will be tougher for the Arizona police forces involved. But at the same time, it will also help them because if they can start to get some of the drugs that are flowing through there out of the areas, the gangs, especially the gangs more than anything, but that also goes hand in hand with the drugs. I mean, that you're talking about people in gangs that would easily slaughter police officers, people, whatever, if they get in the way. So the more that can be done, the better, and until it's, you know, cleaned up. And then by then, perhaps we'll have some kind of law, federal law, on the books. This is what's happening now. The decision has been made to open up immigration, to have the conversation. So, yeah, the House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, and a bunch of other Democratic leaders who on Tuesday started to talk about priorities and what is becoming very, very tight schedule. This is an election year. And all the House seats are up, and a lot of the Senate seats are up, including Harry Reid's. So the idea is we got to pass, we're going to try to pass something. What do we have a better chance at? Immigration. So we'll do immigration first. But I don't think immigration or climate control, because that's the other bill that's out there. I don't think either one of them will have time to be passed. I think there'll be so many arguments that that's not going to happen. There's a much better chance that financial reform, which has gone through the one Senate panel, will go through. Whatever it takes, whatever the clause, the derivatives, etc., the bailout, I think there's a better chance of that happening for sure. Because the legislation they're talking about now is, okay, we're going to get rough on the border. When I say rough, they're going to toughen it up. And also we're going to have some kind of a process for admitting people who come in here temporarily, and then give the path to citizenship for the people who want it. I've talked to people, just like one of our callers, Trey, who called in, said, I've talked to people about the path to citizenship, and most of the people that I've talked to, and I'm talking about guys who work in a golf course, guys who work in maintenance, guys who maintenance an apartment complex, guys who work in lawn care that I know that are in the country illegally, that speak some decent English, movers, and other guys, some other group of guys that I know that are movers. And the common denominator, between all of them is they're not here legally, and they like it. They like coming to America. They like two of them have houses with a lot of their buddies, maybe 10, 15 people in the house, and they're making pretty decent money because they're not having to pay a lot in rent and whatnot. And the idea is to make as much money as possible. Well, the idea that you would have to pay back to become a legal citizen $10,000, because that was the number originally thrown out, you would just work it off. You would come out of the shadows. You would come out of the shadows and say, yeah, I'm here illegally, and I want to become a legal citizen. So you would study hard, and you would pay the money back. When I suggest that, I get peals of laughter. I have not found, and I'm sure there are people that would do it, because there are people that would love to have the opportunity that are here from other countries, and maybe even some from Mexico or from Central America or wherever, where they're caught in the in-between, like their family came over and they have brothers and sisters that were born here, but they weren't. They were 6 months old, or one of those stories. But the majority of folks that I've talked to, it's no way, not interested. They don't want to be legal. They want to take the money and that's it. They want to get the money. They want to work, and they'll do it, but they're saving the money. They're making the money, they're saving the money, they're living with more people to a house or an apartment or whatever, and they want to do that, they're willing to do that, and the reason why is to support the family back home. Stu is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Stu.
Hey, Kate. Real quick on that. My wife's cousin, she kind of went off the beaten path, met a guy down at Mexican restaurant. He didn't speak a word of English. I tried to talk to him. Hell, I don't know what the hell he's saying. You don't know what I'm saying. But anyway, they had a baby together, which I can't complain about the baby because I'm the godfather. But either way it goes, he sends money home. He pays no taxes. He makes less than minimum wage because the owner knows that he can't. Yeah, it's all Mexicans in the restaurant. You know, they're all illegals. He knows they can't. You know, he don't have to pay them minimum wage because what are they going to do, call a labor board on him?
Yeah.
So he pays them less than minimum wage. They send their money home to Mexico. And then the plan is to retire home to Mexico. Now, I've got a friend of mine that is Mexican. He came from Mexico. He came up here. He came through the legal. He's got a job making about $74,000 a year. And Esteban said the best thing. And it just made the best sense. He said, look, he said, why would I come in here as an illegal and make little money? When I come in here legally, it takes a little longer to get in legally, but come in here legally, pay my taxes, pay my Social Security, set my money back, and when I'm ready to move home to Mexico in 30 years when I retire, I will have 10 times more than they will ever think about. And it makes sense to me. It makes sense. By the way, did you do the drawing for the driver yet?
We did, and I thought it was going to be you, Stu. I was really, really rooting for you, but it was Steve in Kentucky. So somebody else from the Bluegrass grass state did win, but it wasn't you, Stu. Stay with us, everybody.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
Get incredible grip, no matter what the conditions, when you wear MaxFit gloves. Everyone from boaters, fishermen, mechanics, plumbers, farmers, senior citizens, and gardeners are all wearing MaxFit gloves for better grip. MaxFit gloves are made with thin glove technology that is ultra-thin, breathable, will reduce muscle fatigue when planting gardens, pulling weeds, or anywhere you need a more youthful grip. Watch incredible MaxFit gloves videos online at MaxFitGloves.com. MaxFit gloves improve dry grip strength by up to 37% and improve your grip up to 400%. Better than bare hands in wet or oily conditions. If arthritis has crippled your grip, or if you work with your hands and depend on a good grip, then MaxFit gloves are for you. Right now, get two free pair of MaxFit gloves when you go to maxfitgloves.com. MaxFitGloves.com, and use promo code radio, or call 1-877-552-5206. That's 1-877-552-5206. MaxFit gloves, incredible grip in any conditions.
It's a fact. One in five females will be a victim of assault. Join Al Horner, the host of Not Me at WebTalkRadio.net, to get life-saving information and weapons knowledge to take control of your life. Al recommends DIY, selfdefense.com, your online superstore for affordable self-defense weapons designed just for women. Don't be a victim. Get the defense tools you need. Shop DIY, selfdefense.com today. That's DIY, selfdefense.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Remember, I remember all that you said. Told me love was to plebeian. Told me you were through with me. And now you say you love me. Well, just to prove you do. Hey, river, I cried a river over you.
All right, the ACLU is crying a river over Arizona's new immigration law. But do you think it's too harsh? Do you agree? Do you think it's right on, thumbs up, or... you're on board with the ACLU. Throw it out. You heard what Stu had to say in Kentucky, and also Trey earlier, who was listening to us in Michigan. You can throw in your two cents at 800-259-5791. But this particular Cry Me a River doesn't go out to the whole discussion, although we could cry a river of the Arizona situation. I'd say immigration and the problems that arose because nobody enforced the law. Really, this Cry Me a River goes out to the man who somehow finds himself at the center of publicity at all times. I mean, he does. He's done some time on radio. He just recently was on Donald Trump's television show. And it seems everywhere I turn, the guy is popping up. And I'm talking about Rod Blagojevich, or Blago as we affectionately call him. He's complaining. He's complaining and challenging the court about the wiretaps and saying, I'm sick of it. Why don't we just let the whole thing out? Here's what the former governor had to say when he was unplugged earlier in the day.
Yesterday, the government filed a motion to prevent me from having all the tapes that they taped played in court. It's bad enough that they've lied about me. Now they're actually trying to keep all the evidence that proves my innocence from being heard before a jury. Worse than that, while they're lying about me, I can deal with that. I'm in this business. Last week, in their proffer of lies, they're now hitting below the belt and attacking my wife. The government's sneaking into court tomorrow to try to file a motion to keep all the tapes from being heard. Now, why are they doing that? They're doing it for two reasons. One, they know when all those tapes are going to be played, they will show I've done nothing wrong, they will prove my innocence, and that Patty did nothing wrong. And then the second reason they're doing this is a reason they know and we know, that there's a smoking gun on those tapes. And the smoking gun is that the government is covering up the big lie Mr. Fitzgerald gave to the world when he had me arrested on December the 9th, and he told the whole world that he heard tapes and he heard telephone conversations, and they had to arrest the sitting governor because he was, quote-unquote, stopping a crime spree before it happened. I'm here today to issue a challenge. If I'm wrong with what I'm saying, I challenge Mr. Fitzgerald. Why don't you show up in court tomorrow and explain to everybody, explain to the whole world why you don't want all those tapes that you made played in court. I'll be in court tomorrow. I hope you're man enough to be there tomorrow, too.
Wow. Blago over the top. Let's see what happens. But here's what the deal is. He's starting to feel the noose tighten around his neck by some of the things that were said on those wiretaps. He does have a point, the former gov. If everything isn't released, I mean, it's all fair game. Shouldn't it all be out there? And what's the reason why? Where's the editing coming in? And remember, he got into hot water because he was trying to sell Obama's seat. That's what it was. Or so it sounded like on these tapes that they have, because he and some others, his brother, etc., they got a little bit cocky and maybe drunk with power, allegedly, and decided that they were going to do the old Chicago-style politics and auction the seat off to the highest bidder. I'm not kidding. But it's a question of, gee, were they joking? Or was it serious? So, sorry, Blago. We can't cry a river for you. We'll hear it. Let's hear what happens. I think he's going to be doing some jail time, and he's liking the 15 minutes plus of fame. Because how many people knew about Blagojevich before he became well known for the situation in Chicago, the big headlines? I mean, people in Chicago, of course, people there in Illinois, yes, absolutely. But around the country, I'm going to say not so much. But then you're on Howard Stern, you're all over the tube, you're on a reality television show. Yeah, then a lot of people started to know who he was. And the question surrounding what did the people around Obama know, and, you know, just the dirty pool politics in Chicago. I mean, come on. It harkens back to the day that still exists. I mean, go way back to what it was like. And, you know, think of the 30s, 40s, 50s, I mean, even before that, and just how nasty it was. It's all about the green. Who's got the green? Speaking of the green, I got to get something a little bit light in here. And they unveiled the Treasury unveiled a new $100 bill. Did you ever notice now lately, I noticed this with 20s, it seems like when I pull out 20s, when you're at the grocery store or wherever, they have a way to tell. I guess a lot of people are counterfeiting. Desperate times, desperate measures, you know, in the basement trying to figure out a way. But Ben Franklin got a super facelift, and this is radio, but it's a remake of it for the first time since 96. And it looks pretty good. And the $100 note is the highest value denomination of our money in general circulation, and it's pretty broadly circulated around the world, too. And it's popular when large amounts of money are needed to be carried out of the country. That's probably why so much of it makes its way into other countries' hands, so much of the $100 bills. And, you know, you've got this makeover now with the $100. You had the $20 bill in 2003. The $50 was done over in 2004. The $10 bill redesigned in 2006, and the $5 in 2008. And part of the reason was, like I was mentioning, because of the counterfeiting, they add these new features, and it's what they put in the paper to help people, retailers, whoever, who's ever changing money, drug dealers, spot bogus bills, and they have watermarks, rather, and they're embedded with a security thread, and, you know, hold it up to the light. Is it good? You're in the dark alley somewhere. Do they have the cash? Let's make the exchange. But it really does. It looks pretty good, actually. And they're trying to stay in front of the counterfeiters. So pretty busy at the Treasury Bureau of Engraving and Printing. I probably have said this before, maybe because I grew up near a mint. You know, there's a mint in San Francisco and Denver and Philadelphia. And I always thought it was cool. I went there a couple times, once as a kid and went back as an adult. And you see the shiny coins coming out, and it is kind of weird to watch the money, and you realize it's just paper. Is it worth the paper it's printed on, though? That's the concern now. But just stacks of paper going through the machines. I mean, it's just huge piles of it. And I wonder, working there, what the temptation would be. I mean, they've got cameras and mechanisms all over the place, but it would be an odd thing to be the person that's, I think, pulling the plain paper and putting it through and then watching the difference when it comes out, the stacks and stacks, and they know how much is there, and when it comes off, and then the person who goes through it. It's just blank paper, and you realize that it's just a bunch of paper, and it goes through, and suddenly it's worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars when they're done with it. And like I said, because we don't even know how much money we're printing. And when I've been asked about this lately, I've gotten a bunch of emails. What would you do? What do you've had financial people on, like Saul Album and others, and had somebody on the other day from a securities business. And, you know, you're asking them about, you don't have to have a lot of money to invest. What would you invest in? And diversification, baby. And I always say gold is solid. Get some gold, get some other stuff like silver, and just try to spread whatever it is that you have around. A little here, a little there, and you're probably better off in the long run. Just hope that we don't have a global currency. They go global. If the Chinese push for that, forget it. All bets are off.